This is DW News coming to you live from Berlin. A shooting on a tram in the Dutch city of Utrecht. Police say it could be a terrorist attack. One person is reported to have been killed. Several have been injured. Local schools are in lockdown and a manhunt is underway. Also coming up, in New Zealand, the nation remembers those who died in the Christchurch mosque attacks. Local students perform the haka, a ceremonial Maori dance to honor the dead. Hello, I'm Terry Martin. Thanks for joining us. We begin with some breaking news coming from the Netherlands. Dutch police say several people have been injured in a shooting on a tram in the city of Utrecht. One person is believed to have been killed. Police say the attack may have had a terrorist motive and have raised the terrorism threat in the province to the highest level. Emergency services are on the scene at a tram station just outside Utrecht city center. Three rescue helicopters have been dispatched. Police say the attacker is still at large, and they are not ruling out the possibility that more than one person was involved. Schools have been told to keep their doors closed. The Dutch Prime Minister has described the situation as alarming. Let's bring in Rebecca Ritters, our correspondent at our studios in Brussels. Rebecca, what more can you tell us at this point?
Well, as you say, Terry, there's not that much more news is still coming in. So what we do know is that the Dutch anti-terror coordinator has now raised the threat alert in the area, in the Utrecht region, to the highest possible level. Terror is being considered as a motive. As you mentioned, several people have been injured, and it's reported that possibly one person has been killed, but that isn't confirmed by police at this stage.
Now, the shooting took place on a tram, we understand. Is there any idea who the shooter was?
No, Terry. As I said, they are considering a terror motive. It hasn't been excluded. The Dutch Anti-Terror Coordination Centre is investigating the case. They are still looking for one suspect who is at large, but they're not ruling out multiple suspects at this stage. Helicopters have been deployed, and they are searching for, at this stage, it's believed to be one suspect, but not ruling out more suspects.
Now, I understand that mosques in the city of Utrecht have also been put on alert, asking people to be vigilant there, in addition to schools. How are authorities responding to this, particularly in their search for the shooter or shooters, apparently still at large?
Well, they're not taking any chances, Terry. I mean, in the wake of what happened in New Zealand last week, obviously authorities are on high alert. Politicians have stopped campaigning. They have stopped. They're doing everything that they can to focus on this today. They've shut down the area, obviously, and they're putting all of their force and all the efforts into searching for this one person.
Now, we understand that multiple people have been injured. That's what the police are saying there. And as you mentioned already, there may be one fatality that is as yet unconfirmed. Do we know anything about the identity of the victims?
No, not at this stage, Terry. I'm not at liberty to say anything. The police have not announced anything about the identity of the victims at this stage.
Had there been any warnings that you're aware of, Rebecca, concerning a possible terrorist attack in the Netherlands? The Netherlands, of course, part of Western Europe. Western Europe cooperates a great deal in its counterterrorism efforts, and we have seen attacks in recent years. What about the general threat level for a terrorist attack in the Netherlands?
Well, the general threat level across the country has been at 4. It was raised to 4 last year. They went out of a possible 5 across the country. But having said that, the Utrecht region has been raised now to 5. That was in relation to threats, perceived threats, intelligence that they had received last year. They have been on high alert, as you say. There have been several attacks across the country in recent years. Across the continent in recent years. So the police have maintained vigilance and high alert, as far as I know, there was no warning of this attack today.
Okay, Rebecca, just to remind our viewers, we are following a developing story coming out of the Netherlands today in the city of Utrecht, the central city of Utrecht. There has been a shooting there on a tram. Several people are injured. Police say one person may be dead. There may be one fatality, although that is yet to be confirmed. We're looking at live pictures from Utrecht right now. On your screen, you can see police, what appear to be special tactics, police officers who are assembled near a building. Obviously, the country is in a state of shock. It appears that the shooter or shooters are still at large. I'm told that we now have Michael Darmanin, a journalist who is based in Utrecht, joining us now on the line via Skype. He's the editor of UtrechtCentral.com. Michael, what more can you tell us?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I could just say that I was on my way back home from my girlfriend's house, and I noticed that one of the roads were cut off, you know, near my home, and it's not far away from the actual incident, my home. I had to take another route. Took another route, was on the way, almost there, and at a traffic light nearby, and I noticed that an ambulance wanted to pass us. So it was he was quite in a rush, you know, so we let him go. I thought, okay, there might be like a car accident or something at the delict scene, you know. Next thing we knew, like 3 or 4 ambulances also wanted to pass from multiple directions on the roundabout, heading towards that direction. I kind of assumed it was like a more serious incident, maybe a shooting or something like that. Mm. I got home, I checked on the internet, yeah.
So that's you were just describing how you experienced this shooting near your home personally when you were on your way home. I'm just wondering what you can tell us about what police are saying there in the local media, what you're getting through through social media from the police and anyone else in the area that might give us an indication about the details of this shooting, who might have carried it out and who the injured are.
Yeah, I can't say who might have done it or what group that person or the people belong to. I can say that most recently the schools have been closed. They've been asked to close universities as well. The threat level has increased to 5 at this moment. And I really can't say that much. Police are like spread out on the scene. You know, they're like checking residents nearby near the delict scene for a possible, you know, somebody that may be involved in the incident. So more than that information I cannot give you. I mean, yeah, the Prime Minister, he's totally upset about this, can't believe this can happen in Holland. And the mayor of the town, mayor Jan van Zanen, is also like in shock. So I hope this gets resolved pretty soon, that we can prevent these kind of calamities in the future. Like, I don't think violence solves anything at the end of the day.
Now, you are in Utrecht, Michael. As you were saying, your way back home was disrupted by what has just happened. And we understand that the shooter or the shooters are still at large. What is it like for you to be in the city when this ongoing operation is happening, not knowing if where the shooter or the shooters are?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit weird. I mean, I know, like, the area where the scene happened, you know, where the delict, I mean, it is known as kind of, like, not really safe area. A lot of, like, you know, young criminal gangs, and so you know, it's pretty well known for that. So you know, every couple of years something like this does happen, and I'm not sure if it's related to terrorism or what happened in Christchurch or whatever. I just know that, you know, it's really a shame that things need to be solved with violence, and we can prevent these sort of things.
So what sort of messages are you getting as a citizen and as a journalist there at Utrecht about security, about what to do? Have you been told to stay indoors?
Yeah, I mean, the threat level has increased to level 5, and most public buildings like schools and universities have been closed. We've been advised not to go around the scene, you know, to mingle around. So yeah, I mean, it's best just to like wait till this passes, you know, a few hours, maybe till the end of the day, and then proceed to normal life. I've heard that trams have been continuing along the route. Perhaps that they have now, you know, resolved the situation to a certain level, that transport has been allowed again. So, yeah, personally, I don't feel obliged to stay at home. I will leave. I have got things to do today, and I'm not going to leave such incidents, you know, to prevent me doing what I have to do now.
Michael, thank you very much for talking with us. That was journalist Michael Darmen in there. He's a journalist and managing editor of UtrechtCentral.com.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Just a quick recap of what is happening there in the Netherlands. We have a report of a shooting on a tram there this morning. Apparently, the police say that several people have been injured. We have one unconfirmed report of a fatality. It appears that the gunman or gunmen or the shooters are at large. The police have raised the terrorist threat level in the state of Utrecht, the province of Utrecht, to the highest possible level, and we'll be bringing you more details on the on this developing story, particularly the manhunt, the hunt for the perpetrator of that shooting as those details become available. You are watching DW News. To New Zealand now, and the aftermath of another major shooting. New Zealand's Prime Minister has said new gun control laws will be announced in 10 days' time in the wake of the Christchurch mosque shootings. There'll also be a review of what the authorities knew or didn't know before the attacks took place. Meanwhile, people have been mourning the victims. Students performed a traditional Maori haka outside the Al Noor Mosque in Christchurch to express their sorrow. It was there that most of the 50 victims died. The Australian far-right extremist arrested after the attack has been charged with murder. Well, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern spoke earlier today at a news conference confirming that there would be a national service for the victims of the attack.
There will be a national commemoration and a service held in order for all New Zealanders to gather together and acknowledge the terrorist attacks on Friday. That will absolutely be the case. What we want to ensure is that we allow the time and the space for families to be able to bury their loved ones, keeping in mind that some have not yet received their loved ones. And so our concern was that this Friday may not have allowed some of that process on their side to be completed. So that's the decision. That's why it will not be this week.
New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern there. Well, the killings in Christchurch have sparked questions over the role of social media in such incidents after the gunman live-streamed his attack on Facebook. The company removed the video shortly after the attack, but not before it had already been downloaded and shared by others. Facebook said that within 24 hours of the attack, it had removed 1.5 million videos of the attack globally, of which over 1.2 million were blocked during upload. The company said it is removing all edited versions of that video as well. Well, joining me now for more is Teresa Locker. She's a tech journalist and editor at Motherboard Germany. Welcome to the program. So let's first look at how this video could be spread so easily and so quickly and so widely. How did that happen?
Yes. So on Facebook, everybody can live stream anything without moderation. And in this particular incident, the attacker had a social media strategy that went ahead, well ahead of the attack. So he had Twitter accounts announcing what he was going to do. He was posting particular accompanying photos on Twitter and on Facebook and on, also on other platforms that are widely populated by a lot of young, predominantly male users who shared it. And there's a deep connection to the so-called troll culture that they uploaded and re-uploaded the video also on Twitter. So it went around on more than just Facebook as in terms of platforms.
You know, you raised an important point there, Teresa, about the killer raising or the alleged shooter there raising this already ahead of time on his Facebook account. He kind of indicated what he was going to do. Could Facebook have done more to stop this being spread?
Well, there are certain technologies that could help Facebook with that. Nowadays, they only react by notice and takedown. So somebody is raising a problem with a particular content, and then Facebook is moderating that. That takes quite a long time. There are algorithmic instances like fingerprinting a particular video that could help Facebook in doing more and doing faster. Also, German police and law enforcement are pushing for these algorithmic solutions, but they are highly questionable in terms of overblocking. There are issues that are connected with that.
Let's open up this discussion a little wider in terms of terrorism and the role of social media. How important has social media now become for those who perpetrate terrorist attacks?
Very important. Also because the references to particular cultures that perpetrate terrorism are ripe in this manifesto that he spread. And sometimes I also think that the media is in partly to blame for overanalyzing what he is trying to put through in his strategy and in his propaganda. So when he writes a manifesto citing particular events, citing particular right-wing extremists, then media shouldn't fall into this trap because it was a particular strategy behind it, and that was to spread whatever he was trying to spread.
The killer was clearly seeking media attention. Teresa Locke, tech journalist and editor at Motherboard Germany, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
Now to some of the other stories making headlines around the world today. Ethiopia's government says last Sunday's plane crash shows clear similarities to a crash off Indonesia in October. That's based on analysis of flight data from the plane's black box recovered from the wreckage near Addis Ababa. Both planes were Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft. Boeing says it will cooperate with investigations into the crash. More than 100 people have been killed after a cyclone tore through parts of Zimbabwe and Mozambique. Many more are missing. The Red Cross says Cyclone Idai has damaged or destroyed 90% of the Mozambican city of Beira. The storm has cut off electricity and road access to the area, hampering rescue efforts. Rescue teams are continuing to look for the missing in Indonesia after flash floods and mudslides there killed at least 77 people in the province of Papua. Several hundred more have been injured. Flooding disasters, which are often deadly, are a common feature of Indonesia's rainy season. Here in Germany, the country's two biggest lenders, Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank, could be joining forces. For years, both have been struggling to grow, but with the government pushing for stronger national banks, the lenders have confirmed formal talks toward a possible merger that would create a national champion in financial services.
They're the largest banks in Germany and their competitors. Now they want to join forces to become one strong German private bank. Above all, because the federal government in Germany wants them to be. The goal, a bank that can keep up with international competition. Both financial institutions have seen better times. Numerous lawsuits have had a strong impact on them. After 3 years of losses, profits have recently returned, but both banks earn little compared to their international competitors. We will only merge with Commerzbank if it makes economic sense. That's why we need a good plan. As far as the balance sheet is concerned, the two banks are far from equal. 1.7 trillion euros at Deutsche Bank and a half a trillion euros at Commerzbank. Together, the two banks would almost catch up with the largest bank in the U.S., J.P. Morgan Chase, in purely mathematical terms. But for critics, that's not enough reason for a merger. The merger alone doesn't create a new business model, and size alone is not enough. I don't see the vision behind it yet. The merger could also be painful for workers. Unions fear between 20 to 30,000 bankers could lose their jobs. For many, it's a forced marriage for political reasons. The two beleaguered banks will have to see what other advantages they'll have besides saving money.
Well, for more on this possible mega merger, I'm joined by Stephen Beardsley from DW Business. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Terry.
So there have been rumors about a possible merger between these two banks for quite some time, yet now it's confirmed that talks are going ahead. What about the timing? Why is it happening now?
As you said, this has been in the crystal ball for a while, and it's even been attempted once before on sort of a preliminary basis. So both sides have known that this was a likelihood, both weak banks. Why it's happening now is because look at the economy, what's happening with the global economy, and also here in Europe and in Germany. Everyone expects it to go down. It's already starting to slump. You see in China, you see a lot of global signs that things are really sort of receding. And when the waters recede, that makes everything harder for businesses. The German government looks and it sees a lot of businesses that are going to, of course, need support during that time when it comes to financing and credit. And if they don't have a strong bank out there, if they have two weak banks, who's really going to be able to shore up Germany's high-powered export economy when push comes to shove? They want to have to rely on a foreign bank. So this is an effort to create that reliable lender out of two struggling lenders.
Two struggling lenders with share prices that have plummeted, of course, over the years. Many do believe this merger is not really what they would like it to be. Why is it so controversial exactly?
I think the way it was put in the piece was actually really well, really good. It's a forced marriage. It feels like it. This is also put in the piece. What was said, I think, is interesting. Both of these banks have similar business models. There's not something that one offers the other, which is noteworthy enough alone to make them want to have a merger for strategic purposes. This is a merger for survival, not for strategy, and that's not a good reason to combine banks. Also, when your business models overlap in such a way, that means a lot of job losses, and that's why people don't like this as well. There's another issue of competition. What happens to the consumer when prices rise for financial products because of this merger? There's also a lot of criticism that perhaps a German bank should have tied up with a European bank instead of just another German bank, that they could actually extend their horizon a little bit and truly offer something more.
So you talked a little bit about possible negative impact in terms of the labor force and consumers, but what about other risks involved here?
I think one of the risks here is that when you have the German government that's really pushing for a merger, then it makes it easier to overlook possible warning signs here, right? The German government has said or suggested from what we've heard that it will make it easier for the job losses. They might look past the job losses in order to get this German champion. That's one risk. The other is that all your eggs are in one basket here. You have two lenders here and suddenly you have one giant lender. What happens when it fails? It has to be rescued. So a lot of risks here, actually.
Stephen, thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about that in business coming up later.
Thanks, Terry.
Returning now to our top story that we're following for you here today on DW News, police in the Dutch city of Utrecht say one person has been killed and several people have been injured in a shooting on a tram. Emergency services are on the scene at a tram stop just outside Utrecht city center. Police say the attack may have had a terrorist motive and a manhunt is underway. The shooter or shooters are still at large. The latest report says heavily armed police are massing outside a building near the site of the shooting. The terrorism threat in the province of Utrecht has been raised to the highest level. The Dutch government has been meeting in emergency session. Prime Minister Mark Rutte spoke briefly to a reporter. Here's what he had to say.
I've just been briefed on the situation and I'm headed back to my office now. It's very worrying news. In my office, we'll be discussing the next steps with the crisis team.
Well, let's discuss this with our correspondent in Brussels. Rebecca Ritters is following this story for us this morning. Rebecca, what further details do you have?
Well, there's been a press conference that's actually going on at the moment from the National Coordinator for Terrorism. They've been saying that it's still really unclear what's happening, that the priority is obviously to try and find the attacker. They believe it is one, but they're not ruling out multiple attackers. They believe one person escaped by a car. The threat level for the city of Utrecht has been risen to the highest level of 5. The rest of the country will remain at 4, level 4. They say it's not necessary at this stage for the rest of the country to raise the threat level. They're hoping that the situation will return to normal as soon as they find the shooter. Obviously, the terror threat has been risen until they do that. So at the moment, still many details unclear, Terry.
With the shooter or shooters still at large, Rebecca, the city cannot return to normal until that person or those persons have been apprehended, obviously. We are getting reports that police are amassing near a building at the scene. Do you have any further information about that?
I don't have any further information on that at the moment, Terry, but it is being reported that the Dutch counter-terrorism agency said that there was a shooting at several locations. I don't have any more information on that at the moment, but the shooter remains at large and the police have lifted that threat to 5.
Rebecca, thank you very much for now. That's DW's Rebecca Ritters there for us in Brussels. You're watching DW News. Coming up next, Eco India, the Environment magazine. And of course, we'll be bringing you updates on that developing story in the Netherlands as soon as we receive them. Thank you for being with us.
Country's economy grow in harmony with its people and the environment when there are doers who look at the bigger picture. India, a country that faces many challenges and whose people are striving to create a sustainable future. Clever projects from Europe and India. Next on DW. Sarno just couldn't get this song out of his head. The musicologist began searching for the source of these captivating sounds and found them deep in the rainforest in Central Africa amid the Bayaka people. He was so fascinated by their culture that he stayed. Only a promise to his son made Sarno leave the jungle and return to the concrete and glass jungle of New York. The result? Reverse culture shock.
When you're away from it, then you come back, you realize how strange and artificial it all is. It's not really connected to life.
The prize-winning documentary, Song from the Forest, starts April 1st on DW.